Morgen. Amen. Good morning. How are we doing?
Well.
How are you doing?
We are good.
Good is nice. Let's pray before we go. Our God in heaven, we're grateful for another day that you've made. The 25th of May that you've given us to be alive. And to see each other, and it's a gift, God. I'm grateful for everyone here. For those who couldn't come as well, I'm grateful. Pray you build them. I pray, God Almighty, that my words today be not of my own, but you will use me to your glory. And that where I feel lost, I rely on your strength. And where I feel like I do not know what I'm saying, I pray that by your Spirit, I'll make sense to your children. I pray that they have an open heart to hear from my own sufferings, from what I'm going through personally, and they can be convicted as well. Pray, God Almighty, that the communion later that we'll have will be to your glory, that we will remember Christ and his sacrifice. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for being God. Thank you for allowing no man be on your throne for just my prayer. Amen. So earlier in January, I preached about life being short. And it was a sort of a scary sermon or a scary message of thought. Because I put everybody in this place that everyone could die. Because that was the perspective I woke up with in the year 2025 when I looked at, you know, the life of my parents and the pictures. I saw them young and I saw them older now, and it made me very emotional, feeling like, you know, they're gonna go one day, and so it made me very scared. And so that was my thought process. But as everyone knows, I always like to talk about stuff that's going on with me personally. 2025, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna, you know, rediscover my love for Christ. You know, in terms of growing. But I find myself in a space again where I feel like the love I have for Christ is growing weak. So I titled my thoughts today, Rediscovering My Love for Christ. Amen? Yeah. Rediscovering My Love for Christ. So there's a song that we used to sing back in Lagos. The song says, When My Love for Christ Grows Weak. So I'll put the lyrics in the chat, and then I just would say the first verse. All right, so it's in the chat. Song says, when my love for Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to the garden of Gethsemane. Do you feel sometimes that your passion for Christ is dim? I don't know if anyone feels that. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, my passion for Christ is renewed.
Yes.
And one would ask, how do you know your passion for Christ is weak? I have less faith and I'm relying on more work. So I have a problem at work. Rather than pray first and then have action, I'm having less faith and I'm doing more work. So whatever my desire is, it's more of work and less of faith. So there is no, God is after. It's when I'm stuck, I've tried some methods and it's not working, then I feel like, man, I need to introduce God into that situation. So for me personally, how I know my love for Christ is growing deep is because I have less faith and more work. I have less intimate prayer to God. So that's me personally. You know your prayers with God is no longer intimate when you're saying the same thing over again. So it's like WhatsApp chat. So for example, Costa says, hi. And then I say, hey. And then Costa says, how are you? And I say, fine, and you? And then Costa says, I'm fine, thank you. Have a great week. You too. Cheers. Prayer can be like that. Amen? Prayer can be like that. Oh, Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for my family. Thank you for work. Thank you for all the things you've done for me. I bless your holy name for you. Jesus, and I pray. Amen. It's not intimate. So that's how I know for sure, you know, my faith is growing weak. When sometimes I don't feel like coming to church, I feel like my love for Christ is growing weak. Sometimes I wake up and come to Bible talk, and I know I have to listen and focus 100% to German. Sometimes it's not easy for me, and I'm like, but I gotta go. You know, sometimes it's like that. Sometimes you don't always feel like I want to be in church. You know, and sometimes you wake up on a Sunday, you're like, maybe I stay home and sleep. For sure, for me, I feel like that's when I know my love for Christ is really weak. When we're always about ourselves, you know, self, and I'm sometimes about myself, what I want, how I feel, this is me, this is my boundaries, this is everything, you know, when I'm always about me, I know my love for Christ is very weak. Let's turn to Matthew 24, verse 10 to 14. Our first scripture. Matthew 24, 10 to 14. And Jesus knew, you know, that it will come a time where it's possible that our faith can grow weak. In verse 10 it says, at that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive my people. Because of the increase of wickedness, I like verse 12. So verse 12 is what I'm focusing on. It says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who will stand firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Because of the increase in wickedness, your love for Christ will grow cold. Because of war in the society, your love for Christ can grow cold. You can feel like, is God still in control? You know, is God still in control? You know? when you look at how even the psalmist, when David complains to God about the wicked having their way, you know, and David is like, how long will the wicked have their way, and we will just continue to, you know, suffer. So when evil prevails, it's possible for my love for Christ to grow. When I try to go online to read the news of what's happening in my country, you know, or the news of what's happening in the world, even in the US, you know, the news of what's happening in, for example, what happened in India and what happened in Ukraine, and what's happening in Israel and Palestine, these things can make your love for Christ go weak. You know, it could actually convict your faith, or it could make you feel, God, are you? God, where are you? You know? You know, by next week, we're already in the sixth month of 2020. So, I think next week or upper week. Is it upper week?
Next week.
Next week. Great. Yeah, next week. Because this is the last Monday for May. We're already in the sixth month of 2025. And I was asking myself, all the spiritual targets I had for myself, have I achieved them? No. So, for me, and a way for you to also have a self-reflection, when I ask myself, okay, this is how I know my love for Christ is growing weak, but what are the things that makes me feel that way? What are the things weighing me down? That was the question. What's weighing me down? And one of the things weighing me down is work. I'm not a proud fan of all my colleagues. I have some great colleagues. I have some colleagues I'm like, so work weighs me down. When you have colleagues that are difficult, work weighs you down. So I can tell you for a fact that sometimes, you know, I'm just pulling my hair just like this, or I'm always, you know, complaining to Clara. You know, so work weighs me down. Sometimes shame and sin weighs me down. Shame, sin. So when you're retrospective about things you've done in your life, or God forgive me for this, has God forgiven me for this? Sometimes the devil plays mind tricks in my head. So shame sometimes. You know, we in our Bible talk on Tuesday, we talked about 10 or 17, 17 years ago, where were we? You know, and everybody shared about their life, you know, where they were 17 years ago. And, you know, Clara shared, and Clara was grateful to God for, you know, what, how God has saved her. I think another sister also mentioned, you know, that sometimes, you know, this, our past weighs down our current walk with God. And so for me, sometimes it's like that, you know. As a married man, when it's summer again, you know you're going to be exposed to graphics in the whole, you know, place. And so you can get, you can fall into loss and whatever, and the devil can use that to entrap you and make you feel ashamed. So that's me personally. In the past, bitterness has affected my love for Christ. So bitterness is something unresolved. You just keep on looking at the person and then you're like, it's okay, you know. So bitterness in the past has affected my walk with God and my love for Christ. Busyness. So busyness. I remember when in consulting, it was only when it was hard I was praying. But like when you have too much activities going on, it can affect your love for Christ. And so for me in the past it has. Unforgiveness. I remember I had a conflict back in the days when I was in campus with a brother, and it actually affected, you know, me being in campus or me being positive or encouraged or whatnot, you know. So these things have affected my love for Christ. And Jesus puts it in the right perspective for me. In Luke 10, verse 41 to 42. So Luke 10, 41 to 42. Jesus says, "Martha, Martha," right? "You're worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what's better for her." So I'm not going to compare Martha and Mary like the way Jesus did in the scripture, but I'm talking about focus. Okay? Focus. I'm focusing on the wrong things in my present time. I'm focusing on the wrong things. My job, I have to do everything in my job perfectly. That's one of my focus. My wife has to be extremely happy. It's a good focus. Amen. Sisters, you know. My parents have to be okay. My siblings have to be safe. Rather than focusing first on God, I'm focusing on a lot of things, and they're stressing me out and they're weighing me down. So, personal question for you: what are you focusing on that distracts you from God? Sometimes we're praying. I don't know about you, but it happens to me. Sometimes I'm praying, and before you know it, I'm thinking about something I haven't resolved at work. Like my brain just, for example, maybe I don't know, young lad is praying, and you're listening to the prayer, but before you know it, your brain just goes, right? I mean, in the past, some people that had cars that gave them a lot of trouble. I'm sure when they're praying, they just, car, the engine, it can't be fixed. You know? A lot of things make us lose presence while we're in conversation with God. So what are those things? So personally for me, I'm sharing from my own flaw. I want to reprioritize what truly matters. You know, on Friday morning, on Saturday, Thursday, I can't remember, and I posted something, you know, and on WhatsApp, and it was my thought. In Psalm 56, verse 3 to 4, this is what David says. 56 verse 3 to 4. So, because for me, one of the things for sure that affects my love for Christ is I'm very, very, very anxious. These days, I'm very anxious. So, anxiety. And it always comes from when you want something to be okay, you know, and at work, family, whatever it is, anxiety, that's when anxiety comes. When you need something, and you need it now. And if it's not coming now, David says in 56, verse 3 to 4 in Psalms, "Says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I'm not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Psalm 56, so there's some verses, and dry the spear. It's 4 to 5. Okay, in Malaysia is correct, and it's 4 to 5. I said 3 to 4.
Das kann, Nein, das ist 6 und 5 sicher, aber das sind die Verse 4 und 5 auch in der deutschen Übersetzung.
Ja. Man, is it clear?
Yeah. Sometimes the numbering is...
Yeah, I know. So, for me, because one of my fears is work, you know, at my job, I had an offer to go to the US, but I rejected the offer. And turns out they closed the US branch. You know? And I was like, well, if I went, I would have been like looking for a job right now. And so when that happened, that put me in a space of, what's happening here in Germany? Are they going to squeeze? Is it going to affect me? And that affected, that raised my anxiety level. So sometimes work raises our anxiety level, especially men, you know, because you want to provide for a family, you want to provide for a family home, you know, and you just feel so responsible. And so your anxiety comes up, you know, because you want to provide. And that's what happens to me, you know. You know, one of the hardest things to do is let go. So when you want to, when your love for Christ grows weak, the easiest thing to do, based on the scripture, is to let go. But it's very hard to let go. It's very hard to just say, God, I'm not going to try to fix it anymore. God be in control. You know, sometimes we say it, but our actions after doesn't look like we've lost control. We are letting go of control. And in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10, I'm not going to turn there, but Paul, in his encouragement to the Corinthians, or out of the church in Corinth, he's telling them that he was praying to God for God. So 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10. Paul says he was praying to God for God to take away, you know, what was wrong with him at the time. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made known or made perfect in weaknesses. That scripture is perfect to quote for somebody that's going through stuff and you are not going through it. But when it's you that's going through the stuff, it's hard for you to surrender and let go in your weaknesses, knowing that God is in control. Lastly, this is a general thought. I think I've forgotten the love I once had for Christ. Every disciple struggles with one thing. When they talk about the early years as disciples and the adult years, there's a large difference. I don't know if you've ever taken this up. It happens a lot of times with disciples. A lot of disciples. When I ask Kostya about his time in Berlin, in blood, their eyes light up. You know? You guys just move, you know, meet, and stuff like that, right? And there was no phone. Correct? There was no phone. So, just imagine how you guys live. But my point is, when you ask anybody about their love for Christ in the beginning, especially for those who got baptized in campus or teenagers, the story of what they say from the past, you see their eyes brightening up. And as you get older, as a disciple, you get complacent. What am I going to read in Ephesians that I haven't seen before? What am I going to read in the... in the Gospels, so the four Gospels that I don't know. I know Jesus Christ, you know. So you get complacent. And for me, that has been a thing, that I've become very complacent. And I have forgotten, you know, my first love, which is, you know, Christ, which is the beginning. And then my last point for the evening is, I'm not fixing my eyes on Jesus. So that's an honest truth. I'm not fixing my eyes on Jesus. You know, Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And I'm not fixing my eyes on Jesus. A lot of times I'm fixing my eyes on the problem. You know, I'm very good at problem analysis. So analyzing problems, breaking down problems into simple steps. I'm great at it. You know, I don't know what you're personally going through. So I don't know if you're in the same space as I am. You know, where, you know, it's sometimes very hot, sometimes very cold. And I feel like, you know, my love and my relationship with Christ can be better. You know. But in Hebrews 12 verse 1 to 2 it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So Hebrews 12 verse 1 to 2. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. When we read this scripture aggregately, makes sense. But when you start picking the important verbs out, you see that it's not as easy as it looks. Running with perseverance, meaning consistency over time. Fixing eyes on Jesus. You know? It's not always easy fixing eyes on Jesus every time. We're distracted. You know? 1 minute to say, for me personally, 1 minute is, I just want to check something on YouTube. And then I check my time. Oh, 45 minutes is gone. I just wanted to check something for like 2 minutes on YouTube. And then 4 minutes, like, how did 45 minutes go? I'm just watching football, basketball, videos, and stuff like that. You know, so we have a lot of stuff distracting us in today's time. So fixing our eyes on Jesus isn't quite straightforward. So for me, moving forward, now I pray more. I'm praying more now. So I pray more and asking God for help. Because I realize that even trying to fix my love for Christ has been more of me doing all the work, doing all the efforts, trying to see, you know, how I can do this and do this. And it's become the physical exercise. So I'm praying more and asking God, you know, for me to feel the hunger. You know, I felt when I was younger, you know. So, like I said, I don't know what your personal relationship with God is. I hope that I've said some few things that can be applicable to your life. So I'll close with this scripture and it's sort of an encouragement. Philippians 3, verse 13 to 14. Philippians 3, 13 to 14. Alright, Paul says, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize. Amen. We need to press on. So I'm going to press on. If you're already pressing on, amen. You know, but I haven't been pressing on. I've been lax. I've been very lazy, lackadaisical. We need to look forward. I've been looking back. I've been more retrospective, which is good, but not so good. We need to look forward. I pray that our best years in Christ is not yet here. That's my prayer. Because we asked a lot of old disciples about their faith, and they talk about, we did this in the past. But I pray, my prayer for everyone in this room, is that our best years as disciples has not yet come. Amen. I pray it's not a case that we say every time, this is something I did 20 years ago. And then next year you say, this is something I did 21 years ago. And the next 2 years you say, this is something I did 22 years ago. I pray that it will be said that, oh, this is something I'm doing now. Amen? And I pray that we press on. Because it's easy to start anything, but it's difficult to press on. Pressing on means that it's becoming challenging. Pressing on means that it's becoming uncomfortable. And personally for me, pressing on has not been so easy. It's easy to wake your family up and say, we're going to be reading our Bibles. And then the first 1 week you do it, amen. And the second week, amen. And then the third week, so we didn't read our Bible this week. It's easy to start, but it's hard to finish. So my prayer also for everyone is that God gives us the strength and the tenacity to press on. Amen. And by God's grace, and by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, I pray that we receive our heavenly prize. And to God be the glory. Amen.